been a year. It's been a year. As I was driving to the hospital to go sit with Mary and the family, I said to the Lord, can this just stop now, please? It's just a little too much. And I know we do not mourn like people who do not have hope, because we do. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And whoever lives and believes in him will live, even though they have died. But it is still hard when we have to say goodbye. It is still tough. So continue to pray for Mary and for Kyle and for Andrew, for Sarah and for their loved ones, for those grandchildren who could come and say goodbye to their grandfather. That was quite the moment to spend that with them. But then we sang this morning, crown him with many crowns. And I always chuckle because I say they got it wrong. Because they say, crown him with a royal diadem. Now, in Greek, the word diademos means the crown that a king wears. Jesus never wore one of those. The crown that Jesus wears is called in Greek a stephanos, which means the victor's crown. That's the crown that he wears. That's the crown that you and I are going to wear. Victor's crowns. Because Jesus overcame death. Jesus overcame our sin. And Jesus gave us hope that it does not end with the moment we say goodbye to this world. At that moment, we stand before the one who wears a victor's crown. And he says, welcome. There is your crown. Father God, we're going to open your word, and you have a word to speak into our lives today, and we pray that in this moment you just allow us to let go of everything else and to let your word speak. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the series called How to Unburden Your Life, where the foundation that we build on is Matthew 11, where Jesus makes the invitation. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? Come walk with me. Come work with me. Come learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace. Come live with me and I will teach you how to live lightly and freely. So number four in that series today. I don't know how many of you can remember the days when you had a five-year-old in your house. I know, because there is one in my house. They're always asking, can I have a snack? Will you buy me that toy? Can I skip bedtime tonight? Why do I have to wear clothes when I go to school? And often when you answer, they're answered with a question, why? Do they ever get out of the why? Why? John's going to take us there this morning, talking with us about questions. So I want you to read with me from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and ask you to do something with me this morning. You'll see that on the screen there are words that are written in red. When I get to that word, will you read it out loud with me, please? You'll see what I mean when we do that. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Anyone want to ask or think or wonder what we're going to talk about today? Just ask. Just ask. Three things about asking. Number one, God wants us to ask. And so many of us struggle with that. I know my mother is one of those. Often I'll talk to mom and mom will say, I think God is tired of me because I'm always asking, asking, asking. And I think God just gets to a point where he just closes his ears and he just doesn't want to hear from me asking anymore. And I so often have to say, Mama, God never gets tired of us asking. He wants us to ask. Because you see, here's the thing. God wants to know what I have on my heart. What's going on in my life? Because what happens is this, and many of us have seen this, if we do not speak to God about what is in our hearts and what is on our hearts and ask God that, what happens to our prayers, they fade out or they kind of struggle. And at some stage, it just becomes this religious conversation with a really distant stranger. And the more that just happens, my prayers just disappear. That's why John says, ask. Ask. I remember a conversation that I had when I was still a student for the ministry, sat with one of my spiritual fathers. And we were sitting in his study and having a cup of tea, talking about many things. And at some stage, he looked at me and he says, I want to ask you something, Aubrey. If God answered all of your prayers that you prayed this week, what would happen? And I just went quiet for a moment and I thought about that. And I'm sure that's exactly what you're doing right now. And I didn't want to look him in the eye. I didn't even want to look up. Because my answer was this. I don't think much would have happened. Because I'm not sure that God cares about the things that I care about. So I didn't ask. But I got it wrong, didn't I? God cares. God wants to hear them. God wants us to ask. Would you like an example? Jacob asked for a blessing, and God gave the blessing. Hannah, Samuel's mother, asked for a child, and God gave the child. David asked for victory over his enemies, and God? Solomon asked for wisdom, and God? Jesus was there in the garden, and Jesus asked his Father to carry him through that, and God? And Paul says, Philippians 4, and we did a whole series on that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, asking, make your requests, your asks known to God. And then the peace of God that guards your hearts and minds will bring you that peace that just goes beyond what you can ever think. Just ask. Just ask. So can I ask you, as you sit in this place this morning, what is on your heart that you need to ask God? And I'm going to start with Alexander and we're going to go all around and you're going to answer the question. No, but we are going to come back. You are going to come back. What is on your mind and your heart that you need to ask God this morning? Hold on to that because I'm going to come back right at the end. I won't forget. So, God says, ask. Number two, when we ask, God hears us. See, when we speak to God in our prayers, God listens. And God hears what we're saying to Him. And here's the amazing thing that happens. The moment that I speak to God and God hears my heart, it moves God's heart, and He hears those words that I'm saying, and He hears those petitions, and it puts God into action, and God answers. Sometimes it even changes God's mind. And you're thinking, Aubrey, you're out of your mind. God never changes His mind. He does. When we ask, and He hears. Do you want an example? I brought you one. From the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 20. Oh, what a beautiful story. From the New Living Translation. About that time, Hezekiah was the king of Judah, became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you're going to die. You will not recover from this illness. Now look at what Hezekiah does. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. What is he doing? Just ask. He's asking. Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. And then he broke down and he wept bitterly. He asked and he said, this is my heart, Lord. This is what's on my heart. And then he just cried. But it's done. I mean, that's what God said. So he's over and done with. Right? And then there's a biblical but in verse 4. But before Isaiah had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, and tell him this. This is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard. Ask, and God hears when we ask. I've heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears. I will heal you. 3 days from now, you will get out of bed, go to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. This is what the Lord said. Get your affairs in order. And Hezekiah asks and says his heart, and God hears, and God changes his mind, and God goes above and beyond what he was ever even hoping in his heart. Why? Because he asked, and it touched God's heart. And that's why John says in verse 14, we can confidently go to God and ask, because God listens, God hears, and God's heart is moved. Can you hear that? Will you hear that? Even in your most difficult times, just ask. Now here's the thing. Here's a but, and it's my but. No, not this one. Not a biblical but. Here's a but. But God is not Santa Claus. We can't just make our little lists and then give them to Santa and say it was a good boy or a good girl. And Santa's just going to write down the list. No. Remember what John said? Can I take you back? This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything, and here's the big words, four of them, according to his will. When Jesus was in that garden, what did he say? Father, take away this cup, but not my will, your will. I'm asking, and you hear, and he hears according to his will. Because can you imagine for 1 second if God just answered all the prayers that you and I pray? Can you imagine the mess that we would have been in? It's like that little 5-year-old that says, why do I have to wear clothes when I go to school? If I allow him to do that, can you imagine? Pray, ask, your Father hears according to his will. Because the thing is this, me, you, all of us, we're still babies when it comes to our prayers. We're still learning every day how to do that. Because as we grow, we don't ask the questions like the 5-year-olds anymore, right? I don't ask Elsie, do you think it's okay if I go and preach without clothes this morning? We grow. I'll ask Elsie, do I look properly dressed to go preach this morning? We learn how to speak. And so God teaches us slowly to speak, teaches us new prayer language according to his will. But it's okay to say, "Hey, Father, is it okay to go without clothes this morning?" And he'll say, "No." Because it's not. "Father, is it okay if I stand on that pulpit and I cry this morning?" "It's fine, Aubrey. You'll be okay. Because I hear your heart and I'll carry you." God wants us to ask. When we ask, God hears. Here's your third ask. There is power when we ask together. Can we read the scripture reading again? And I want you to read the red words with me again. Different red words this time. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, know that we have what we asked of Him. There's a lot of we's in there. There is power when we ask together. Yes, we need our prayers, but God also wants us to be together and pray corporately, together as God's people. And when we do that, boy, do things change. Does God ever do amazing things? I'm going to give you another example like I did with Hezekiah. This one is one of my favorite passages. Please go read it this afternoon, just as a little fun moment. Acts chapter 12. It is one of the coolest stories. It starts kind of a little hairy because Herod is on one of his killing sprees again. So he kills James, the brother of John. And the Jews are really happy about this. And Herod thinks, okay, so I can get the Jews on my side when I kill these guys. So he takes Peter prisoner. He's got the big guy. Takes him prisoner, puts him in jail, puts all of these soldiers around him, puts him in shackles. There's no way Peter's going to get out of this jail. Then in verse 5 we read, the people of God, the congregation, got together and they earnestly prayed to God for Peter. People are getting together, they pray for Peter. What happens? Nighttime falls, Peter's in jail. The next thing, Peter looks up and there's an angel. Angel says, "Put on your coat, put on your sandals, there's no more shackles on your hands, let's get out of jail." And Peter and the angel walk right out of jail. Peter's thinking, "Man, this is a vision that I'm seeing." He's not sure that he's awake. So they get a block away from the jail, the angel disappears, and Peter realizes, "I'm really out of jail." So what is the first thing Peter does? Peter goes to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, the one who ran away without his clothes that night in the garden, goes to Mary's house because that's where they were together always praying. So listen what happens. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 12. When he, Peter, realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. Look at how this is written. It's so cool. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter's standing at the door." Can we just stop there for a moment? I know you've not read the rest, so keep it there, keep it there. So, poor woman, instead of opening the door, she's so excited, runs back. Peter's there. So they've been praying. They've been asking. They've been saying, "Lord, help Peter. God helps Peter." Now look at their reaction. "You're out of your mind," they said. "We've just been praying. Come on. God's not going to answer this kind of prayer. We just pray, that's all. We don't expect God to do anything." "You're out of the mind," they said. But when she insisted, they decided, "It must be his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. A little tongue-in-cheek there, but sometimes that's just us. I pray and I ask and God answers, like, it just can't be. He's going to answer my... Yes, he does. He wants you to ask. He hears. And when we come together as God's people and we pray, boy, can things change. Miracles happen. Jail doors open. People walk out. That's the God that we serve. I've said this before. When we pray, we touch heaven. And when we touch heaven, it changes earth. Prayers are touching heaven, changing earth. And this place is not just a place where we come to hang out. This place, Jesus, when he kicked them out of the temple, he says, my Father's house is a house of what? A house of prayer. This is what this place is. This is why we come together. When we sing, we're praying together. When I tell you for a moment after every sermon, I say, take a moment of quiet prayer. It is to pray together because there is power when God's people pray together. We change this world. And here's the cool thing that's happening. January 1st is a Wednesday, 2025. Alexander is going to be the one who's going to run this for us. We're coming together on January 1st in this church to pray as God's people. I want you here. You need to be here because there is power when we pray. We are going to pray for this church, for revival. We are going to pray for this church, for the fullness of the Spirit of God in this place. We are going to pray for this world. We are going to pray for the year with all of the exciting things that God is going to put in front of us. We are also going to pray for each other. Go put it in your day planner. January 1st is a day of prayer at Central Church. Not going to preach. We're going to pray. That's what we're going to do. That's God's invitation. So we're going to end. And you thought I forgot, but I didn't. What is in your heart that you need to ask God for today? So here's what we're going to do, and I'm going to make you so uncomfortable now. I'm okay with that. But if you don't want to do this, it's fine with me too. I want you to turn to someone next to you, in front of you, behind you. Might be your partner, your loved one, your wife, your husband, your friend. I want you to turn to someone, and I want you to pray for that person and for that person's need. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to open your heart and say, this is the thing in my heart. All you have to say is, will you please pray for what is in my heart for me today? And if you can't do it out loud, that's perfectly fine too. It takes a little time for us to learn how to do that. That's fine. You can do it quietly. And then you ask the Lord, Lord, you know what's on Doris's heart. And I'm just going to pray for Doris right now, Lord, and God will guide you. So church, please take a moment and let's pray together. Will you turn to someone? Just ask them and pray with them for a moment. Isn't that amazing? And we can do that. And the more we do that, the more it'll become easier for us to do that. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you that we may ask. Thank you that you hear. In Jesus' name, amen.